My employees just got iPhone 12 on Verizon 5G, the 5G business has been waiting for. We download huge files on the go and use multicam video conferencing. Plus, with the coverage of 5G nationwide and more cities, ultra-wideband, it's 5G from the network businesses rely on.
Get iPhone 12 Pro Max, the ultimate iPhone for business. Switch and save up to $1,000 with qualified trade-in. 5G nationwide available in over 1,800 cities with number transfer. Terms apply. Limited time offer.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, November 30th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. You probably don't think a whole lot about how your internet connection works, unless, of course, it's not working. But your ability to access your email, visit a website, or stream an episode of TV, all that relies on hundreds of undersea cables that carry data around the world. They're basically like the internet's plumbing. And now, Google is planning to build a new cable to connect India and Europe. To do it, we report that they're working to open up a new pathway for global internet traffic, one that's fraught with international tensions. Our reporter Rory Jones will join us with the details and to discuss why it matters after these headlines. We report that DoorDash and Airbnb are planning to release higher than expected valuation ranges for their initial public offerings, both of which are set for later this month. DoorDash is expected to begin its investor roadshow today, and it's targeting a range of around $25 to $28 billion. People close to the offering had expected the company to target $25 billion. Meanwhile, Airbnb is expected to kick off its roadshow on Tuesday. People familiar with the matter say the company is planning to target a range of around $30 to $33 billion, higher than $30 billion originally expected. Normally, companies and their underwriters try to set relatively conservative initial ranges, with room to potentially price shares higher before trading starts. It's not yet clear what price per share ratios the companies will settle on. Online sales are surging as the holidays approach, and the e-commerce giant Amazon says it'll spend more than $500 million on special bonuses for frontline employees this year. Those who work full-time for the month of December will qualify for a $300 payment. Part-time employees will get $150. Amazon offered a similar bonus in June after strong demand from consumers stuck at home during lockdowns. And we report that Salesforce is in advanced talks to buy the workplace messaging tool Slack. According to people familiar with the matter, the companies could come to a deal within days, possibly by the time Salesforce reports its third quarter financial results on Tuesday. Slack has grown quickly during the pandemic, and it would be Salesforce's largest acquisition ever. But of course, there's no guarantee the two will reach a final deal. All right, coming up next, why Google's planning a route for its latest fiber optic network that's never been done before. That's after the break.
My employees just got iPhone 12 on Verizon 5G, the 5G business has been waiting for. We download huge files on the go and use multicam video conferencing. Plus, with the coverage of 5G nationwide and in more and more cities, ultra-wideband, it's 5G from the network businesses rely on.
Get iPhone 12 Pro Max, the ultimate iPhone for business. Switch and save up to $1,000 with qualified trade-in. 5G nationwide available in over 1,800 cities with number transfer. Terms apply. Limited time offer.
There are about 500 major undersea cables that carry the world's digital data, things like telephone signals, website traffic, and cloud computing information, in between data centers around the globe. But bottlenecks can sometimes get in the way. A lot of high-speed internet lines that link Europe and Asia, for example, go through Egypt. Network operators pay Egypt hefty fees to pass through its territory. Plus, that route goes through the Red Sea, where there's a high risk of serious internet outages, since the area is such a busy shipping route. Enter Blue Ramen. That's the name of a new cable that Google is planning, which would get around that bottleneck in Egypt by going through Saudi Arabia and Israel instead. And since those countries have historically been at odds, the project would require some serious geopolitical gymnastics. Our reporter Rory Jones has been following this, and he joins me now. Hey, Rory, thanks for being here.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. All right, Rory, first things first, can you just break down what a fiber optic network is and what it does?
Yeah, well, fiber optic network connects the entire world, really. All the internet really goes under the sea, ultimately. So although you might be watching a show on Netflix in Dubai, that show, The Crown, for example, might be sitting on a data center in another part of the world. And so to get that content from that part of the world to Dubai, it needs to travel at super high speeds along the internet's plumbing. And that plumbing is made up of these submarine cables that then connect into countries, that connect onto each of those countries' telecoms networks, and then feed into your Wi-Fi or your LAN connection in your own home. And that allows you to watch The Crown on Netflix. So we're all connected globally via the internet, and these cables are at the heart of that.
Got it. And so, as we mentioned, there are about 500 cables in the world, some of which kind of bottleneck at Egypt. So can you just tell us about this new cable that Google is planning? What's different about it?
Yeah, so Google's planning a network that will travel from India through to the Middle East and connect via Saudi Arabia and Israel for the first time. And then the connection will move along an undersea cable to Europe. It's important for two reasons, because it is opening up a new corridor for internet traffic between India and Europe. And why is that corridor never existed before? And that's because Israel and Saudi Arabia don't currently have diplomatic relations. And until recently, Israel didn't have diplomatic relations with many of the Gulf states. What Google's planning is a cable that will connect through what were ostensibly enemy states for the first time. That will help alleviate congestion via Egypt, which has for decades been the nexus of cables traveling from India through to Europe.
And as you alluded to, this is a really tricky geopolitical challenge as well. How is Google navigating that?
Yeah, so according to our sources, Google had already been in talks about trying to connect this route from India to Europe via these Middle East states, even before there was a rapprochement over the summer between Israel and the UAE and Bahrain and Sudan. Those countries signed diplomatic agreements with Israel over the summer, and there's a sense that Saudi Arabia could be next. Google appears to have been very prescient in all of this and figured out that the region's geopolitics aren't necessarily going to trump business and connectivity and the willingness of countries to digitize their economies. And so it was already trying to lay out this route even before we saw a diplomatic thaw between Israel and other countries in this region.
And, you know, bigger picture here, what would this mean for the countries and communities that would be connected if Google is, in fact, able to pull this off?
Yeah, well, so I think that Google's primary goal is to move traffic between India and Europe, because they are massive hubs of users compared to the Middle East, where there aren't as many people using the internet and using Google services. But there is certainly a push among Middle East and Gulf governments particularly to, I suppose, digitize their economies and invest in technology and in startups in ways that will help them diversify away from oil. So these countries are desperate to create technology champions that can provide jobs for their citizens that move their economies beyond hydrocarbons. Anything that helps them connect better to the internet and to other countries around the globe will help them in that goal. For Google, I think Google wants to ensure that it provides a surety of its services and that its services are fast, stuff like search and YouTube and so on. But Google's also been investing heavily in its cloud network and in trying to encourage companies to move more of their data to Google's cloud business. And so this added connectivity and the capacity on these internet routes will help them achieve that goal and try to beat out rivals like Amazon and Microsoft that are ahead of the game in the cloud computing business.
And Google's not the only company that's been working on these big undersea cable initiatives. Facebook also has quite a big initiative on this front. What are they working on, and why should we be paying attention to this?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Facebook, alongside Google, is racing to connect the internet and users around the globe. It has a massive 23,000-mile project called To Africa, where Facebook is working with partners to run cables around the entirety of the continent, and that will connect potentially through Egypt up to Europe and also around the western side of Africa. So while Facebook and Google have joined together on some of these cable initiatives around the world, they're also competing with each other. They are competing for users and eyeballs on the internet, and they offer in some places similar products. And so they are both heavily involved in this space, a sector that was traditionally dominated by telecom operators in each of the countries that they were in, whereas Google and Facebook in the last sort of 5 to 10 years have really emerged as these global players that are helping connect the internet and working with telecom operators at the same time, but in a way that is of a much greater scale than we've ever seen.
All right, that's our reporter, Rory Jones. Thanks for being here, Rory.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.